And they got gifts that we all are going to be blessed to see. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. By the way, we're believing God for 300 kids, but their parents do bring them. Amen. Amen. So it's a big night, and we're going to do it on the weekend before Halloween this year, just hopefully so that we can spread these things out, because they're, of course, done all over the city. But we sure have people that are excited to come here. This building will be a little bit different. We'll have a big airfield bounce house that is, in fact, some place for kids to stay all night. Amen. They will go from one end and go back and go back. Yep, they just won't quit. It's just so much fun. So as we get ready for this, we need lots of candy. Hallelujah. So grab a couple of bags of any kind of candy that there is that is already wrapped. Okay? That's the only thing we've got to have. Got to have it all wrapped. Amen? So we will get ready for this awesome event that we always have at the end of October that we call Harvest Carnival, not Halloween. Amen? So it's a thing that I think most churches like to do, just to get the right feel for the time of year, not to be glorifying the devil, but glorify Jesus. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time in the Word. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will receive today something that they can apply in their lives. And Father, we thank you today that you give us utterance in the opening of our mouths to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. I speak today, they're going to speak all through the week. And Father, we are going to be influential with the gospel in this city in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pick up where we left off last week. If you were not here last week, there's a reason that we have a door over there. And that reason is that this is the Hebrew year 5778. And that means something in the Hebrew language and the Hebrew, really the Hebrew way of life, because their letters look like pictures. And so every letter has a specific picture that is associated with it. And number 8, like we're coming into 2018, number 8 is the number of new beginnings, okay? So new beginnings, new opportunities are coming through a door. And that's what you see in the Hebrew alphabet. You see a door for number 8. So they associate the letters with a picture. So that's what year that we're in. And last week, we went through that door just as a prophetic act to let God and let the devil know we're believing for those good things to come. All right? So what I want to do today is I want to talk about going through the door. Is that okay? All right. We're going to go talk about going through the door. And if there's one thing that you and I need to know, it is that God is a very firm believer in doors. Amen. So let me define a door for you today. I think you'll all agree that this will be appropriate. But what is the main thing that happens with a door? You open it unless it's already open. And if it's already open and you don't want it to be that way, what are you going to do? We're going to close it. It appears that tomorrow is a day you'll want to keep your door what? closed, because it's going to keep out the cold, right? So doors are, they are incredibly interesting because the Bible is full of doors. And I'm going to talk about one that the Bible doesn't talk about directly, but we all know about it indirectly. Let's define a door as something that separates one environment from another environment. Okay? One environment, if you go through that door, when you go through that door, it's a different environment in there. Amen? There's food! Yeah. So something else is in there. If you go up there, something else is up there too. And there's going to be a blacklight scavenger hunt through a door at the end of this month. Okay? So it is easily defined as what I just talked to you about. It's taken you out of one environment into a next one. So here's something that I want you to think about today. Every person on planet Earth, all of them, amen, everybody had to come through a door to get into the earth. We call that door childbirth. But it brings that baby, not the fetus, not the pile of molecules that a lot of people don't know whether they're alive yet. Just trying to make a point, amen. When a baby's heart starts beating, nobody in planet Earth will argue that it's alive or not. Okay? Nobody will argue that because you got a heart beating. Amen? And that happens about the 13th week, I believe. So at any rate, I'll get off that bandwagon and jump on this one. Amen? When that baby is ready to be born, and wives and mothers all over the world have tried to advance that several months in some cases. Let's get this kid out now. Well, it's only the third month, honey. It's driving me crazy. I'm feeling like I'm so fat. Yeah. So the baby is going to determine when he's going to come out or she's going to come out. But she or he is going to have to come through the birth process. Now, God is a great God. He loves babies. He made the whole system to have babies be born a lot. Amen? Amen. He likes the fact that the birth rate is higher than the death rate. He likes that, okay? Because he likes things that are growing. So that baby's coming through the birth process. And God loves birth so much that he'll even pay doctors exorbitant amount of money to cut them out. I'm just saying. Amen. It's fine. God's glad to pay somebody if the mama's having problems to get that baby born. That's the big deal. He wants that baby born, but you came through a door. I came through a door. Everybody came through a door, and you say, you mean I came to church to find out something that I knew when I was three? No, here's the point. You are coming into a new environment. The mama's womb is nothing like the crib. All right? Not anything the same. So you're coming into a new environment, and in that new environment, there is lots of different things that are going to impact your life. Isn't that true? Okay, good, bad, in between, it's going to be different than where you came from. Okay, so we begin our life through a door. And then you're going to find this out. When you read the Bible, you're going to find out God's heaven has a fence around it. Beautiful stone wall. It's not like any stone wall you've ever seen, and it's because it's made out of jewels. God likes sparkly. He likes all that stuff. Amen. He likes the bling, yes. He's a bling guy. But let me tell you, he loves the gates. So he's got gates for people to go through into heaven. Amen. They are made of one pearl. I can tell some of you women are going, I tell you, I can't wait to see that thing. Whew! I'm looking for it. Amen. But you and I will not get into heaven any other way than through a gate. There is a gate that's going to open for you, and you're going to walk through that gate into an environment you've never seen before. And it's a Lulu. It's awesome. It's better than black light. It's white light. All kinds of light. So you have a door at the beginning. And you have a door at the end. But there's another set of gates that are out there too. When you leave this planet, you're headed for the gates. I was thoroughly enthralled as I went to Bible school and I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about going to hell. I said, now it's not everybody that goes to hell comes back and tells about it. Unfortunately, way too many are going to hell because they are not embracing the gospel. They don't understand it. That's our fault. That's the church's fault. We are not doing what we're supposed to be doing enough. Amen? Amen. 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 Not condemning anybody, just saying we need to pick it up. Amen? Mm. Hallelujah. Amen. So, here's what he said. He was a man that had, at the age of 15, an incurable blood disease. His blood was orange. And he was a man that had, unfortunately, a very bad heart. He was a preemie by a long shot. He said, when I was born, I was about the size of a small rat. And he said the doctor was there and said, well, he's dead. And took him out. His grandma took him outside to bury him in the backyard. It was in September. And he said, when she got everything dug and unwrapped him from the cloth he was in, she said, I saw a hint of life. So she said, I ran back into the house, and she said, I think he's alive. And the doctor checked him out, and he said, well, my gosh, he is alive. And so they started feeding him with the dropper because he was so small. And he lived through it, but physically he was very much handicapped. So by 15, the doctors told him what was wrong with him, and they said, nobody in the annals of medicine has ever lived with either one of these for more than 15 years. And since you got both of them, it's amazing that you made it to 15 years. And he said his family was a family that was broken. Daddy was gone, and it was a rough life for him, and he grew into a young boy that hated the people that were making fun of him because he couldn't go run and play like other kids. So how many know that'll do something to you? Okay, because there's always kids that are gonna say stuff that are just gonna ruin you. Amen. So he said, I just became so angry. He said, I'd have kids tease me. And he said, if I would have had the physical ability to do it, I'd have killed him. And he said, I tried to kill a kid, and I had a brick. And he said, I was waiting around the corner and I was going to hit him with that brick as hard as I possibly could. And he said it just didn't work. He said, I got him hit, but I didn't kill him. So here's a young man now that's getting ready to die. And he said, I thought maybe because his family were all in church down in Texas. And he said, I decided maybe I better read the Bible some. So his grandma had given him a Bible. He could only read for a little bit of time, and then he couldn't see anymore. And so he did that for the next 3 or 4 months and then began to go into comas. So he would be in a coma for a while, and then he'd be out, and he'd be in, be out. And if he was out and was doing well, he could read his Bible. So he said at one point in his life in that 15th year, he said, I woke up in the morning and he said, my feet went cold. And he said, all of a sudden, if you want to know what dying's like, listen carefully. He said, all of a sudden to me, he said, it felt like something just sucked me up out of my clothes. But he said, when I came out, I floated through the walls, got outside Grandpa's house, and some force started sucking me down. And he said, I went right down into the ground. He said, as I was going down into the ground, it got darker and hotter and darker and hotter and darker and hotter. He said, I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. And he said, darker and hotter and darker and hotter until I could see, as he said it, orbs of flame dancing on the walls of a place with gates. When Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, he wasn't kidding. They're gates. So he's looking at the gates, and he said, when I saw these two huge gates, and they each opened up. So he said, I was looking at these gates, and he said, I was riveted on those gates because I knew, and I don't know how I knew, but I knew if I went through, I would never get out. You don't want that moment to come. And he said, suddenly I was within 50 yards or so of the gates. And he said, some being came over and grabbed my arm and started ushering me in. And he said, I started to fight against him as much as I could, and he said, I couldn't even begin to budge him at all. And then he said, suddenly a voice thundered throughout all that whole place. And he said, it was in a language I didn't know, but he said, as soon as he said, it was about 8 syllables. He said, as soon as that voice ended, that being let go of me, and I started going up. This happened 3 times. The third time, he had always been saying when he was going down there, God, I belong to the church. I belong to the church. I'm a church goer. And he said, I just kept going down. He said, by the third time, he said, God, I believe in Jesus. I'm giving my life to Jesus right now. And he said, up I came, right up out of there. And he said, I went into my body. And he said, it felt exactly like it would if you had a pair of shoes or a pair of boots. I just went thunk right into my body. And he said, I opened my eyes and there was Grandma. And he said, Grandma, I'm going to live. And she said, well, son, you've died twice now. This is the third time you came back up. And he said, no, I'm going to be okay now. He said, I'm going to be okay now. I'm going to stay now. Because he got born again coming up out of hell. Amen. Trust me. You don't want to see those gates. You don't want to have anything to do with those gates. The gates you want to look for are the gates of heaven. Amen. And they are available for free. All you have to do is say, Jesus, from this day forward, I'm going to live my life for you. You do whatever you want with me. I don't care what it is, but I want to live for you and with you. Want you in my life. And I confess you as my Lord. You're my Lord. You understand? You can say that 1,000 different ways and he'll know what you're talking about. Amen. So I just felt very led of the Lord today to let you know those gates. Now, how about the door? So all through the Bible, you'll find doors. But here's one of the most interesting ones. It's in the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation 4, verse 1. John the apostle of James, John, and Peter fame, John was in the Isle of Patmos, which is a prison yard. And the Lord showed up one day and said, I'm gonna show you something. I need you to know what needs to happen in the churches. And so the angel of the Lord came, and John heard. The first three chapters of Revelation are all about what the Lord was saying through his angel to every one of the seven churches in Asia. So I want you to think about this. What if God really cares about what we're doing in church? What if God really cares about what we're doing outside of church? What if he's writing down all the stuff we're doing? And aren't you glad that when we say, Father, forgive me, he says, just scratch that out. Yeah. Amen. Forgiveness washes that clear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now let's find out what happened in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. So now John's got this great message for all these churches. He's going to go around and preach it to every one of them. He's going to tell them, this is what's good. This is what's bad. God isn't a critic. He's a corrector. Okay? He's not just down there just going, blah, 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 blah. You guys don't know how to worship God. You don't do anything. You guys have left your first love. I'm so mad about it. No. He's saying, just repent. Just repent. Just take a step to make that all that work again. Get it going again. Used to do it all the time. Now, get back to it. Get back in there. He's an encourager, okay? So, after all this stuff about the churches, here's what our dear brother John said. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first verse voice, which I had heard, clear back at the beginning of the book, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. On December 22nd of 2003, I was in my office at home praying that day, and all of a sudden, in my prayer, I saw an open door in the heavenlies seemed to me like it was over Boulder. Okay? And so when I read this, I always think about that experience because John said, he said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. I'm sure John had the thought that I had because he heard the words, come up here. Come up here. And I'm sure for a split second he thought, how do I do that? It's way up there. And I've never flown before. Now, I had. I've flown before, but I had to have an airplane. So, or a helicopter. So I saw that thing, and I'm standing there in my office, and I said, how do I get up through that door? I didn't know what it was. I just saw the door, and it was open. And I thought, how do I get up there? And I just heard in my spirit, by faith. I said, I have never released my faith to fly up into a thing, go through a door. And I just thought, well, I believe I receive. I'm through the door. And I was standing on the other side of the door. I can't make this up, folks. You do understand that. Okay? So I'm standing on a suspension bridge. It was made out of glass. I'm just standing on one end. I look down the bridge, and I see somebody walking toward me that had a robe on. Just like, look, it looked like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who doesn't know Obi? Everybody know Obi-Wan Kenobi? He was the high priest in Star Wars. Amen. So I'm looking at this guy, and I couldn't see his face because his robe was over the top of his head. In fact, it was a hood made for that. I couldn't see his face. But when he was walking towards me, he wasn't looking at me. He was intently looking over the glass wall, and it was just about this high of that bridge. He was looking over it, and he was watching what was going on in the earth. Okay? Never knew I was there. And I was looking at that thing, and I thought, what is that? And the Lord said to me, that's a spirit of religion. I said, well, he looks like one of them folks. Amen. He's dressed for the occasion. Then, I don't know what happened to that guy. He's just gone. Now, I'm looking at another guy coming. This is a big man. Tall man, gray-haired man, walking toward me. Same thing. He didn't see me at all. But he wasn't looking down at them. He was looking off into Never Never Land. He was just walking along, and he was looking up like this. Never paid a bit of attention to me. I said, and this guy was in a beautiful, beautiful business suit. I said, what is that, Lord? He said, that's a spirit of greed. I went, all right. He disappears. Now, this one was strange. And I see at the end of the corridor, not moving toward me at all, like the other two had. I look down at the end of the bridge, and I see an Indian chief in a full war outfit. I mean, this guy's got the head stuff coming clear down his back. And I'm watching him really do nothing. And I just thought, I wonder why he's not walking. I wonder, what is this? And he morphed into a gangsta. He morphed into a gangsta. Just like, you know, the black hat, the black outfit. I said, man, that guy is he's a gangsta. How was the chief turned into a gangster? And that took me a long time. Lord wouldn't tell me. That took me a long time to deal with. And he said, the Indian represented pharmakeia. Pharmakeia is the word, the Greek word for pharmaceutical. So he was talking about, the Indians, of course, had tremendous abilities with all the good and bad stuff for you to smoke. Or eat, or whatever. Okay, so they knew that God put stuff in the earth for a reason. Okay, and they have an instinct born into them to connect with the earth. Okay, it's a phenomenal people group. We need to have them in our midst. Great worshipers, not materialistic at all. So they don't fit in America very well. Hallelujah, we just stuck them on reservations. So here's the deal. I am watching all this through this door. And I never thought about this in my life until this week, because I've been thinking about doors. Because that door did something in my life. Number one, I understood who the princes are that rule over this. The demonic princes are that rule over this part of our world. Okay? You have false religion. We have churches all over here. But let me tell you, few of them preach the gospel and get people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Too many of them don't even talk about any of that. Okay? So if you're the devil, you want people to go to church and be so bored and so absolutely, completely off in your mind, just thinking about everything else under the sun while somebody's going through a church service. Okay? You are not connected. All right? But you're there for a reason, and that's usually a she. Just thought I'd say. The ladies are in tune. They can feel it. Ooh, honey, did you feel that? No. I hate this place. I want to go sin. Do you understand? Yeah. Men are the root of sin, not women. Men are. That's the Bible. When Eve took the apple and said, here, honey, take a bite. After she took a bite, he said, you take one first. Those things may kill us. Yeah. Yes, boom, she eats it. Nothing. You know why? She was deceived. She was deceived by a smart snake that had a demon in him called Satan. Amen. So, when Adam ate it, all hell came through the door. And he went, oh my gosh, I'm feeling death getting a hold of me. Wow. Wow. Okay. So, now listen. We know who those spirits are now. We know religion is a big problem in this area. People think they are saved. I was raised in the church and I thought I was saved. Only I didn't know what saved meant. I didn't know it meant you had to be born again. I had to have Billy Graham's on the TV when I was 8 years old tell me, you got to be born again. That's what Jesus said. You have to be born again. And of course, at 8 years old, I have no idea. So he said, come up, put your hands on the TV, if you're in the TV audience, and repeat this prayer after me. Amen. You probably did that same thing. Some of you did too. Okay. I did that as a little boy. Never knew what happened. And it just didn't connect with me. Okay. But now I know what religion does. Religion puts you under a bunch of rules that you can't keep and tortures you there. Okay? Keeps its head or its foot on your neck. Just boom, gotcha. All right? Next one is greed. This area is a greedy part of the world. Okay? It's greedy. Okay, let's say it. America is all greedy. It's pretty greedy, greedy, greedy. All right, here's the other thing. In our area, and I know this thing is over Boulder in a big way, I have had in my life numerous drug addicts come to church, really, really get their lives changed. One of them was the biggest pusher in all of northeastern Colorado. He came to Greeley and he came to Boulder to get his dope. Okay? That's where he got it. So we have a problem here. And God has taken lots of resources to get help for people that are caught in that world. There's lots of them in this city, all along the Front Range. Lots and lots of drugs, and so much so that now enough people are in that world that now they can sway the vote so that they can get their drugs legalized. And that's another story, isn't it? But the last thing is this. We have gang problems, don't we? Everybody's got some gang problems. And we have to understand that's all spiritual stuff. Okay? The enemy of our soul, Satan, is the original gangsta. Okay? He'll rip you off and laugh in your face. Okay? So here's where I need to end this today. We need to end it right here. See it? No. I'm going to read it to you in a minute. I wanted you to get the big idea with doors. Doors are everything in life if you want to move beyond where you are now. If you don't want to move beyond that, It's okay if you're doing everything you know to do that God's telling you to do. That's where everybody should be, okay? But here's a big issue, and we're going to get you to know some things about this issue over these next few months. I was talking to the Lord when I was out running the other day, and I was saying, tell me about doors. First thing he said was this. He said, you came into the world through a door. I went, man, I never thought about childbirth as a door. Wow, okay. And he said, the other thing is, all that I care about on either side of the door is the people. I don't care about anything else. I care about the people. That's my, always, the apple of my eye. I'm looking at the people. I'm not looking at buildings. I'm not looking about any of that. I'm looking at the people. And then he said this, and when my people come through the door, I'm going to give them gifts. I think there were six of you that got it. And I know why. Because 99% of the people that in my pastoral life, now it's, you know, almost 1,000 years. Wow. I'm telling you. We talk about gifts. You know, I don't know what my gifts are. You don't? No, have no idea. Okay, well, let's find them. I have no idea. You can find your gifts in about a half an hour. real sharp people in the body of Christ have things like this, and you can take a gifting test, and we'll give you a gifting test here in the weeks ahead, and you'll find out. Oh, my gosh, that's a gift from God. I didn't even know it. Okay? So, if you go through the Bible, you will find out that God has... See, most people want to think this way in America. This is the way we think because of greed. Okay? This is the way we think. Okay, now, I need to know what the will of God is for my career. That's what we're caring about. We care about our career. God, on the other hand, has a gift for you that has nothing to do, or many gifts, that have nothing to do with the career ever. Stuff like the gift of celibacy. It's listed in the Bible as a gift. Yeah. It's a gift. Here are some other gifts. I'll go through them fairly quickly. We are out of time. So here we go. These are ones that everybody would say, if you've been around the church for a while, you would say, oh yeah, that's a gift of God. Prophecy, how about that one? Amen. Speaking by the unction of the Lord. You heard that today. We had a tongue, we had an interpretation. Every church in America ought to be having tongues and interpretation or prophecy. Okay? You need to hear from God. The Bible says that if there are two or three gathering in his name, then there he is in the midst of us. Do you think all he wants to do is just sit there and listen to us? He's going, man, could I please say something today? Please. Whoa. Hallelujah. Okay? So prophecy, pastor, teaching, wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Those are things that God gives you a glimpse into the future or into the facts about some circumstance. That's the word of knowledge. The gift of exhortation. There are some people that can just flat out encourage you out of depression into joy. If you just give them enough time. And I'm not talking about 30 sessions. I'm talking about 30 minutes. Okay, they'll bring you out of that funk of depression into joy through that gift, exhortation. Going to exhort you, encourage you, amen. Discerning of spirits. That's what happened to me when I saw the bridge over Boulder. That is seeing in the realm of the spirit, okay? Seeing those creatures that were in that thing. That's seeing through the gift of the discerning of spirits. Here's another gift, giving, giving, giving. I hate to give. Well, you don't have the gift. I hate to give. Well, you don't have the gift, but that doesn't mean you get out of it. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Give it up.
Yeah. So the gift of giving is something that God gives people that they just know how to make money. They just know. My dad was like that. My dad just knew how to make money. Okay, he was a businessman, owned his own business. About everybody that owns their own business is going to have that gift. You just know how to do it. Okay? And normally, those men and women will give out of their financial flow. They'll give what about the whole rest of a church our size will do by, they'll do it themselves, what everybody else will give collectively. Okay? It's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And every church has people with the gift of giving. God makes sure they're there because they can give and be a blessing in a way. Really, 90% of the other people can't. Okay, here's another one. Helps. Now, if you are looking for a gift, just say, I'll help. And see what you're good at helping. You may be really good at helping do food, so that's hospitality. Or you may be really good at helping building stuff. But if you're only good at help at busting stuff, we don't want you. Amen. Never forget as long as I live. Had a person in the church that, I mean, if we say we're going to do this, they'd show up. And one day I was watching them do something and it broke. And I said, oh, man, bummer. I'm going to have to go buy another one of those. And that person turned around and looked at me and said, you know what? Everything I do, it always breaks. And I wanted to say, well, don't get me involved in this. go work for your dad or something. But please, no, not me. Just help. Just help. That's the place to start. Just help. And see what you're good at. Mercy. Oh, I mean to tell you, great gift. Mercy is a glorious gift because that's the person that doesn't critique you and condemn you for the things that you've done wrong. They'll give you mercy. What a gift that is. Amen. A lot of grandmas with that gift. Missionary, self-explanatory, evangelist, hospitality, the gift of faith. That's a special gift God has beyond our normal faith and puts us into a place that we have the faith that moves mountains. Amen. Lots of stories about that kind of faith. Then leadership, administration, miracles, healing. Bible talks about the gifts of healings because there are lots of diseases and God's got a healing remedy for every one of them. Tongues, interpretation, voluntary poverty. Voluntary poverty, not forced poverty, poverty, but volunteer poverty, which of course all of the Catholic Church's priests take that vow, okay? And that's a gift of God. Celibacy, intercession, deliverance, service, apostle, that's the key guy in the church actually, the apostle and the worship leaders, amen. So we're going to go through all of these next few weeks and let you find out where you are. And if you've taken these several years ago, you'll find that there are other things that you will read the question and go, you know what, I don't think I'm going to answer that same way I did 5 years ago. Just don't think so. So Father, today as we close, we thank you for the gates, Lord, the gates being opened to your church where the gifts are. Glory to God. So, Father, we're asking you to release the gifts in every person in this building, Father, to have them walk through the door of the new year and stretch forth their hands toward those gifts that will accompany the will of God and the plan of God in this next 12 months. So, Father, we thank you now that those things are released and we're reaching out for them right now this morning. And, Father, we say we believe we receive those gifts that we need for this next year. Glory to God. And, Father, we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to Jesus. So if you were not here last week and you would like to walk through this door, we're going to have you do that, but we're going to let everybody be dismissed. And then if you want to stay or if you need a prayer, have a special prayer request, we'll pray for you. But everybody else is dismissed. Have a great afternoon, everybody.